heels and fists bounced harmlessly off the battlesuit's armored plates. The companions were already on their feet, but unarmed and facing a battery of laser rifles, they couldn't assist in the fight. They watched helplessly as the officer started to slowly unscrew Jack's head from his neck, like the lid of a glass jar.
It wasn't him! He didn't kill her!
The officer paused in her neck twisting.
Who was it then?
It was me, Shadow Man. I'm the one who croaked your girlfriend. I gotta tell you, it was nuking big fun. Step over here, Jughead, and I'll do it to you, too.
She tossed Jack aside like a rag doll. She charged Ryan. Six of her own troopers quickly intervened and blocked her path. Straining with all their might, they managed to keep her from reaching the one-eyed warrior, who resolutely stood his ground, a smile on his face.
You motherfucker!
The CEO will want them in one piece, Captain. There'll be big trouble for us all if we bring the Shadow Man back dead. If you hand them over alive for her to deal with, there could be a big reward. Think about it. The Shadow Man.
What?
I mean, the CEO will love making him pay for what he did. Not just him, all of them. And they'll suffer, too. You know that. It'll take them days to die.
You're right. Why let these scum die so easily? Where's the justice in that?
No justice at all, Captain. None at all.
Bind them securely and throw them in the back of my wag.
The troopers pulled the companions' arms behind their backs and tied their thumbs together with thin plastic straps. Then they put larger straps on their legs, linking their captives together at the ankles. So if one ran, they all had to run. If one fell, they all fell.
Get in there, Shadow Man!
The troops shoved Ryan and the others through the rear cargo door of one of the big wags and made them sit on the floor, alongside the lashed-down body bags and the pile of their captured weapons. As the rear door closed, the soldiers took their places in the jump seats along the cargo bay walls. There were no windows inside the vehicle. The only light source was the red glow of the instrument panel, which was well forward. After strapping himself in, the trooper nearest Ryan cleared his visor.
You really put your dick in it this time, Shadow Man.
His eyebrows were very dense and blonde. His skin was pale, and there was a tattooed teardrop at the outside corner of his right eye. Looking more closely, Ryan saw that the tear was actually made up of three tiny blue letters. PCS, Population Control Service. Ryan had seen the handiwork of the PCS in the other reality. Vast, sealed underground galleries, choked with heaps of human skeletons. Too many bones to count.
Captain Kira was the first officer to die on this mission. The other two grunts don't count. They were good soldiers, but they were just regular men. Regular men like us are expendable. We can be replaced by you fucking Deathlanders if need be. You never know, Shadow Man. Maybe you'll be wearing my battlesuit someday.
Ryan wondered why the trooper was confiding in him. There had to be some personal risk involved.
Your officers are all women?
No, not women like your two friends there. Not good for screwing or making babies, like I told you. She-he's.
Huh.
Genetically modified human beings. They aren't female anymore, and they sure as hell aren't male either. They're a third gender, created by the White Coat specifically for this mission.
Made from scratch, you mean? Cloned in a test tube?
No, these beauties started out just like you, honey.
Doctor.
The trooper stiffened as the front doors of the wag rose, and the driver and captain climbed in. The man's visor immediately fogged over, and he said no more. Like his seven comrades, he sat like a statue in his shock-mounted jump seat.
It would appear our new friend has somewhat of a contentious relationship with his superiors.
Same old military song and dance, even in jolly super-techno world.
I don't know about that, JP.
From what the trooper had told them, the separation of officers and enlisted men in the invasion army was absolute, and based on genetically engineered differences. The male troopers were ordered into combat by creatures unlike them, or anyone else they'd ever known. Creatures who, it seemed, could both outfight and outthink them. All the talkative soldier knew about his future was that when he was chilled, someone else would inherit his battlesuit. Because of this, Ryan couldn't view the troopers' remarks as the typical grousing and backbiting of the lower ranks. Once the wag got underway, the reason for the shock-mounted jump seats and cross-chest safety harnesses became painfully apparent. As the vehicle picked up speed, its yawing, pitching motion increased. Ryan and the others couldn't hang on to anything with their arms pinned behind their backs. So they took a pounding on the cargo deck, bumping into one another, as well as the plastisteel floor. No way could Ryan estimate their speed over ground, but from the vibration and G-force he felt, he knew he was traveling faster than he ever had before. After what seemed like about 15 minutes, the wag slowed to a stop. Their bodies numbed by repeated impacts, the companions found it difficult to stand when they were prodded from the deck by the troopers. The rear door opened, and they staggered in a teetering file out into daylight. JB scowled at the panoramic expanse of metamorphic nuke waste before them.
Slake City.
Behold, the cloakee of the universe.
Ryan took in the rest of their surroundings. The old man was right about the nuke glass massif. It was a cosmic butthole. But by Deathland standards, the Otherworlders' encampment clustered beside it was nothing short of magical. Everything was new and shiny. Nothing was cobbled together with rags and sticks and baling wire. There were towering black tractors and semi-trailers, as well as other assorted all-terrain wags, and a fleet of attack gyroplanes. The living and storage quarters consisted of maybe 20 blacked domed structures, connected by sleek tubular walkways. Ryan's rough count of the battle-suited troopers was around 100. He also noted the tall stacks of 55-gallon steel drums, every one of which had Baron Jolt's name stenciled on the side. One of the troopers cut the straps on their ankles and thumbs, while two others moved the body bags from the wag's cargo bay to the ground outside. The four remaining troopers held the freed companions at blaster point.
Pick up the corpses, dogs! You killed them, you carry them!
One of the troopers poked him hard in the ribs with his pulse rifle's flash hider.
Get a move on, and keep going straight ahead until the captain tells you to stop.
JB and Ryan hoisted one of the black plastic bags by the sewn-in handles at either end, and started walking where the trooper had indicated. The other companions did the same. They were force-marched with their burdens past a churned-up dirt area. In one corner of the rectangle, four troopers sprayed carnifage foam from their back tanks onto an already heaping mound of the stuff. Brown goo spread out in a shallow pool beneath the creamy bubbles. As chewed up as the ground was, it was impossible to miss the litter of severed hands and feet, or the fact that they all had suckers on the palms, fingers, and soles. One trooper kicked these grisly relics into a pile for foaming, while another made a neat stack of dull silver bracelets.
Stickies. Lots.
Right.
Stickies were a race of degenerate, crazed chillers with incredible strength. They used the suckers and the adhesive secretions in their hands and feet, and their rows of needle teeth to rip their victims apart. Some people believe they were accidental nuke-spawned mutations. Others claimed they'd been bred on purpose for hunting or sideshows. Regardless of their origin, Stickies had first appeared in scattered wild bands decades after Skydark. It was hard for Ryan to imagine how so many of them had been caught at once, unless the troopers had interrupted one of their breeding orgies. When they were within 50 feet of the largest black dome, the companions were ordered to stop.
Put the bodies down there. Sit beside them. Do not move.
The officer then walked across the compound and entered the dome through a bulkhead door. As they sat there, waiting for they knew not what, a huge truck appeared over the rise in the thermoglass and rumbled down the road toward them. Its cargo box was heaped to overflowing with tons of gray-green glass. Before the loaded wag reached the encampment, another identical truck departed, its cargo box empty. On the road in front of the second wag were perhaps a dozen spindly humanoid figures, forced to walk ahead of the massive bumper. Some of the Stickies had survived the foam yard.
I sure don't like the looks of that. There's nothing in that direction but a bastard slow death.
Meanwhile, the loaded truck pulled up beside a tractorless semi-trailer and dumped its cargo of glass into a big hopper at one end.
It's some kind of industrial operation. Though what they could want with chunks of Slake City's beyond me. The invaders must be hard up if they're trying to use Stickies as slaves.
Hard up or just plain dim, Millie. Everybody knows you can't train Stickies to do anything. All they want to do is eat, fuck, and chill.
Sounds like some rappers back in my day.
The bulkhead door in the big dome swung inward, and 10 black armored troopers rushed out on a dead run.
Uh-oh.
Our hands and legs are free. Stay focused, son.
Standing between the 10 running battle suits and the body bags were several troopers who were guarding the seated captives. The guards' counterparts bore down on them so quickly they didn't have time to get out of the way. Instead of going around the immobile grunts, the newcomers shoved. And when